have a fantasy football question? Call the Fan Line at 336-1230. And now, back to Fantasy Football Thursday with Chris Tubbs and David Brown.
It's Fantasy Football Thursday here on KWSN. I'm Chris Tubbs along with David Brown. Sioux Falls Canaries baseball coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes. Final game of the series against the St. Paul Saints, 6:45 pregame, 7-5 first pitch with the voice of the Birds, J.J. Hartigan. Still to come in the program, we'll talk about the offseason moves and throw out some five questions at you. 336-1230 is the Fan Line. You can go ahead and dial us up at any time. A common mistake, David, that I think fantasy players make, and it's passing up the safe names in the middle rounds. Because we know that it's fun to draft in the first couple of rounds because you're getting your big names, your superstars, your cornerstone. But you build depth in the middle rounds. This is where you start thinking about your bye weeks and your flex options, especially in PPR. I mean, you're always on the lookout for value, but there's something to be said for getting a guy you know that is going to give you quality playing time week in and week out. I mean, it might be a lower ceiling, but barring an injury that requires you to find somebody on the waiver wire and claim the job, I mean, a guy like Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Joik Bell. These guys are solid fantasy options that I understand you want the home run, but sometimes when a guy's sitting there staring you in the face, I think guys just they make the mistake of passing these players up.
And I think sort of along your point, people understand that there are not going to be these workhorse backs this year. There just aren't that many of them left. And so when you get past that, honestly, when you get past that first or second round, you're going to delve into, I don't know how I feel about this guy. And you're going to feel that way about a lot of backs left. But guys like Danny Woodhead, you need to think about, okay, where are these backs used in situations? Danny Woodhead is a classic example of a third down back who's going to score you a lot of goal line touchdowns. A guy who can sneak around you, maybe have a 100-yard game here or there.
And he's also going to catch a ton of passes as well.
Yes, absolutely. So look for guys that aren't necessarily the flashiest names, but you know can consistently produce based on what you've known in the past. You know these guys can get goal line
carries. There's nothing worse than gambling on a player, and then you come back and they got you zero. And then you start second-guessing whether or not this guy is going to be in your lineup week in and week out. 336-1230, the Fan Line. Let's check it out. Hi, who's this?
This is Chad.
Chad, how you doing, bud?
Real good. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Nice to hear from you. What's up?
Bears fan. So, two quick questions, then I'll hang up the phone. Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffrey, who do you take first? And where does Jay Cutler rank in that second tier of quarterback? Thanks, guys. Love the show. I'll listen to the answer.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Boy, I think Alshon Jeffrey, I think it depends on what kind of a draft you're looking at in a dynasty or a keeper. I'm going with Alshon Jeffrey over Brandon Marshall. I actually had this very same conundrum earlier today when I was looking at both wide receivers. And to me, I really do. I think you're splitting hairs with these two. Consider this. And I want to throw this out at you. Last year combined, Jeffrey and Marshall, 1,421 yards, 1,295 yards. 6th and 11th in the NFL in receiving yardage. 2,700 combined yards, the second in the NFL behind Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. So between the two of them, I think right now I would go with Alshon Jeffrey, but it's a toss-up. It really is. And as for Jay Cutler in that tier, my gut says I love Jay Cutler this year. I think he could be a top five quarterback. I really do.
I was going to say he's a top 10 to me. I think now that you know what you have in Jeffrey, and they found that out last year.
Don't forget about Martellus Bennett as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But when we're talking strictly the Marshall versus Jeffrey debate, you got those two big targets. Remember, Cutler split time with McCown last year, so neither quarterback, McCown or Cutler, really got a good feel. Cutler's going to have his opportunity now with these two big targets. He's more well-established with Marshall, but I think I would agree with Chris. I would take Jeffrey before Marshall, and I think the reason being, this isn't a diss on Marshall, but you know what you're getting. I think Alshon Jeffrey is just starting his potential. I think he could rise even higher, and I'm not trying to throw big names out there, but he could end up being a Calvin Johnson type of receiver.
Yeah, no doubt, and I do think that Jay Cutler, at the end of the year, considering the defenses that you've got, and I think Minnesota's secondary is going to be improved, but I don't think it's going to be improved to the point that
Well, they don't have Chris Cook, so Alshon Jeffrey can't hurt him that badly this year.
Alshon Jeffrey isn't going to be able to just score over anybody. I think at the end of the year, you could be looking at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, and Jay Cutler, and Peyton Manning. I think you could throw him. He, to me, Chad, I think you look at Cutler, I would put him on the same level as Andrew Luck, as Nick Foles, guys like that. I think he's probably 6 or 7 right now on my quarterback list with a chance to go top 5 at the end of the year.
Yeah, I would say he's in that 6 to 9 range.
All right, let's talk more about some of these guys that are going low. A guy that I like, and I know that we talked to Matt last week, and he was wondering about the Cincinnati Bengals. I know Giovanni Bernard is getting a lot of the hype, but don't sleep on a guy, Jeremy Hill. Don't sleep on that rookie. I don't think you can sleep on a guy like this, because while Bernard, everybody's in love with the PPR option. I'm just trying to find my notes here. He's going to take over that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis role. And we realize that was 200 plus carries and goal line work. He's just by sheer volume, Jeremy Hill is going to get some opportunities, especially with this Hugh Jackson offense. Just look at him, and right now he's going in the middle of the 9th round. That's good value for a guy that could potentially split time with Giovanni Bernard.
Guy's going too low, in my opinion. Guy that sort of had, along with his teammate, a great 2012, a not-so-great 2013. I look from the bounce back in 2014 is Alfred Morris from Washington. I think that when you look at Washington's backs, last year they sort of had that Roy Helu, Evan Royster amalgamation that produced just nothing. So Washington doesn't really have quality behind Alfred Morris. You've got a new head coach, a new coordinator, a rejuvenated RG3. Now you added DeSean Jackson, so there's more passing weapons. But I think as a corollary to that, you're going to get more focus on the passing game. It should open up lanes for Alfred Morris. I think Alfred Morris can have a bounce back here.
The one thing that concerns me about Alfred Morris is the fact that the offense has changed. Mike and Kyle Shanahan,
I think that could help him, though.
They were a run first offense. Jay Gruden loves to pass the ball. And as a matter of fact, Roy Helu, if we're talking PPR and maybe a guy that might go under the radar, 136 catches in the past 6 years. And whenever they've had passing situations, Roy Helu has replaced Alfred Morris. I think that you're looking at Alfred Morris being still the workhorse based on what he's done. But don't sleep on Seastrunk, Chris Thompson, Helu, that combination maybe being that Giovanni Bernard PPR option out of the backfield for Washington. This is Fantasy Football Thursday here on KWSN. When we come back, our 5 question segment. It's coming up here on Sioux Falls Sports Radio, KWSN.